escape.
Expecto Patronum!
You'll be hearing from us.
From the Strategic Homeland and...
Just call us
SHIELD. User has information that could... Well, could make this free system again.
Smash.
And here we go.
X-Cast Geek Show.
Yo.
BJ and Big Rich, how's it going?
Good, man. How are you?
I'm doing good. Lots of stuff to talk about.
First things first, in the intro there, and it just hit me. Just hit me now, and I've heard it a million times and everything, is that scene where Gwyneth Paltrow is Pepper Potts talking to Coulson and from the Strategic Homeland. Yeah. And in the first Iron Man, they act like they have no idea what S.H.I.E.L.D. is, S.H.I.E.L.D. in the Marvel Cinematic Universe, so probably no longer canon that they just came up with what S.H.I.E.L.D. was when the first Iron Man came out.
Right.
But it's like they were just figuring out, I don't know. All right.
I figured they would have had that figured out. I guess maybe it was more of just, I don't know, maybe because they were so underground or something. Yeah. You know, they were under the radar generally.
There's a lot of things in the first wave, phase one of Marvel films that they... we're going to try and do, and they didn't end up doing. In the Iron Man 2, when he's sitting in the room of Fury, there's that map in the back.
Yeah.
And it's got all the, like, but whatever they are, tagged, like people that they're looking for. And they claim that, you know, Namor is on that.
Really?
Somewhere.
I have to go through that and look.
Yeah, I've not heard any rumor of a Namor movie or Namor being involved. But with the, you know, thing of Doctor Strange getting his own film, Defenders could come to be, and he was a big part of that.
Yeah. Well, I did a Throwback Thursday article on X-Jock about Dwayne Johnson. Back in the first iteration of the X-Jock website, there was rumors that Marvel was courting The Rock to be a Marvel character, and there was speculation who the character was, and the big name that everybody was saying was, it's got to be Namor. He's going to be Namor. And I was thinking, well... yeah, I mean, he could definitely pull it off, but, you know, Namor's more of a swimmer kind of guy, so he'd have to really slim down compared.
He would, because he's huge.
Yeah, he is. I mean, he's massive.
He's going to be huge for Black Adam.
Yeah, he is. So, I mean, but I'm going to reserve judgment because, I mean, The Rock is a great actor. I just pray. I pray DC doesn't step in its own bantha poodoo and...
Well, I read something the other day saying that... that the whole Shazam movie might not even really be a part of whatever DC cinematic universe that they're trying to come up with. It could be something that stands all on its own. And I go, that's stupid.
Yeah.
Why are you trying to do that?
Yeah, this is the same.
That's just speculation, but I mean, it wouldn't surprise me.
It's the same thing that DC has been doing right along in regards to just shooting themselves in the foot.
Right.
I mean, look at the, you know, just it's, yeah. I mean, that, which leads us into Gotham.
Right.
You know, the premiere was the other night. We're recording this on the Wednesday right after the show premiered, which was this past Monday, correct?
Mm-hmm. This past Monday,
yeah. This past Monday. I mean, seriously, what did you... I mean, you have a review up, but encapsulate the review.
I want to say brief first initial thoughts. It was... okay.
Yeah.
It was okay at best. I heard a lot of people saying that, oh, this show is going to be epic. And I'm just like, I don't feel it.
I don't feel it either.
I don't feel the epicness yet, you know? And it's hard. It's a pilot episode.
Yeah.
You've got to introduce everybody. And I thought that the introductions of some of the characters was just a little awkward and sloppy.
I think it was too much with the introductions. They
introduced a lot of people.
It was like... here's Batman's rogue gallery. Enjoy. Yeah. No. I mean, here's how I envisioned Gotham being, and maybe I could be totally wrong. I envisioned it being, you know, a gritty crime drama set in Gotham around Jim Gordon setting the stage for, you know, Batflick, you know. And basically, yeah, you meet Bruce Wayne as a kid, you meet Alfred, maybe you see a few of the, you know, of the bad guys, you know, but it was like every 5 minutes, it was another bad guy that Batman is going to face or something along those lines. I mean, you had, you know, Enigma, you know, the Riddler, you had Cobblepot, who's, you know, the Penguin, you had the Joker, you had...
See, that what they say that was not the Joker.
They say that was not the Joker.
They say that because I mean, because the origin of the Joker goes, he was a stand-up comic. There's no real solid origin story right. for the Joker, but they said, I read something that said that they're going to have a series of stand-up comedians auditioning for Jada Pinkett's character, Fish Mooney,
mm-hmm.
and one of them will be the Joker eventually in his life.
Okay.
But this guy right here apparently was not, but they were leading you to believe that it was. For anybody familiar with, what is it, The Killing Joke?
Yeah, The Killing Joke, yeah.
Anybody familiar with The Killing Joke, you know, that would be the Joker character right there. But apparently it's going to be throughout the series that'll happen.
Yeah, it just came across as a very clunky start. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was, you know, it was too much. It was just too much going on. They should have just left it maybe at... Okay, I mean, I could see, you know, I could see Mooney, you know, Harvey Bullock, you got, you know, Jim Gordon, you got all the other, you know, cop parts squared away. But, I mean, I could see maybe just Cobblepot. And then what was the deal with Selena Kyle there?
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that I guess the next episode or the episode after this one is going to be Selena Kyle-centric. So you're going to get a little bit more background on her. I think what they're doing right now... And I think in the pilot, it was just to showcase that they had all these characters and, you know, they're going to do something with the characters. And it was just to make sure that they were all aligned in the same universe, on the same path at the same time. That's the only thing I can say. Now, there has been, in at least film and probably in more often in the comics, very different tellings of the whole shooting of Bruce Wayne's family. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, I mean, Tim Burton did it one way, you know, and then they did it other ways in the other films, and Christopher Nolan did it again, and they've done it on the animated series, and they've done it on the Justice League animated series, and they've done it on, you know, and now they've done it on Gotham, and all of them have been a little bit different, but each of them is the shaping and formation of Bruce Wayne, you know, going on the path that he goes on. But apparently in this version, Selena Kyle happened to witness it. So there's the connection, I suppose.
I mean, it just didn't make a lot of sense to me, you know, with the whole Selena Kyle thing.
That made more sense to me than Little Poison Ivy.
Yeah, I mean, even
what was
that,
the point?
Yeah, what was the point of having that? I mean, Jim Gordon's going to meet all of Batman's... you know, foes at, you know, at some point in Gotham before they were bad. I mean, who says they all have to live in Gotham?
I'm just waiting for the episode where he's on the street and some little kid runs into his leg and drops a coin and Jim picks it up and gives it to him. And he's like, thanks. What's your name? Oh, I'm Little Harvey. Get out of here,
kid. You bother me.
Yeah. Get out of here. Little Harvey.
Jeez.
Little Two-Face.
I don't know. I mean, I mean, DC,
I'm going to give it a shot. Yeah. I have to have faith that they actually have somewhere to go with this.
And I always have a general rule with new shows. The first season always sucks.
Yeah.
Because they're just trying to find their way. So I usually give them the benefit of the doubt. I'll watch. But later on, after the, you know, if the show does manage to stick around, it becomes successful, I usually don't watch the first season again because it's just so painful to watch.
Well, my wife and I are big fans of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Mm-hmm. Her more so than me. And whenever we go back to watch it, we always skip over the first season.
I don't
need to watch that.
It's just easier to skip over the clunkiness and the awkwardness and move on from there. Speaking of awkward... far from the truth when it comes to our Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., Marvel's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. I mean, it was just, they hit the ground running.
Big time.
And I thought it was, you know, I thought it was awesome. I thought it was a big success. A
little easier for them to premiere. You're coming off of a pretty awesome season finale for season one.
Yeah.
You're also not having to really introduce people. Now, they did introduce new characters, but they didn't really... take the time to actually introduce them. They're just kind of there and within this universe, which I think is fine, and that's kind of the way that Marvel is going to be going in the first place.
I remember you saying that, especially with Doctor Strange, not having like an origin movie. It's just more like, you know who he is.
Yeah.
You know, if you're not part of, you know, if you haven't caught up on what the character is, you know, who he is and anything, here's the comics. You've got, you know, 60 years of comic books.
Right.
to draw from. There's Wikipedia. There's the Marvel.com website, you know, wiki. I mean, there's just so much information out there. You can learn anything you want about Stephen Strange at Marvel.com and just pick it right up and run with it.
What I thought was cool, what they did with this episode was the opening, first of all.
Yeah.
With you have Haley Atwell's Peggy Carter in there with the Howling Commandos, which I thought was awesome.
Yep.
I love seeing Dum Dum Dugan running around and everything, and that was really cool. And obviously, there's the connection to the present day, because it looked to me what they found when they broke up that Hydra camp. It looked like they had found that Kree alien in one of those crates.
Yes. Yeah. So, they opened up the one crate, and we probably should have said spoilers, but tough shit. Too late now.
Ah, too
late. But yeah, It
was very, very brief. I know, like, people were rewinding and pausing it to see what it was, but, you know, just from, like, the first go-around for me, I could tell that that was definitely that Kree alien that we saw at the end of last season's Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah.
That I think that the GH formula...
GH-235,
the GH that they used on Coulson to bring him back in Tahiti. I'm calling it Tahiti juice. And they put it in Sky at the end to save her life as well.
Yeah.
So.
But then there's the rumor now that Sky is also part Kree anyway.
Right. That's why she was able to do that. I have no idea where they're going with that.
Yeah.
They didn't really touch on any of that in this episode, except for the fact that she said that she is still working on the formula that we saw Coulson writing down at the end of last season and everything like that. Mm-hmm. But they didn't really touch on it, so I'm hoping that they develop that more as this season goes around. I thought was really cool was Absorbing Man, Carl Creel.
Yep.
That was really cool to see. That's taking it way back, because that's going into the 60s and everything like that. He was originally a Thor villain.
Was it? Yeah. I thought it was Crusher, which was, he was a newer one, maybe.
Well, that's Carl Crusher Creel was his name.
Oh, okay, yeah.
And but like he was a Thor villain originally that Loki had like made to fight Thor.
Oh, okay.
So it was pretty cool. I mean, they haven't said where he gets his powers or abilities or anything like that. Obviously, they can't call him a mutant because of the copyright with Fox and everything. But I don't think he's going to be like a big bad villain, but I think he's a nice side villain. He is an Avengers enemy, which fits right in with the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. timeline. With the he was part of the I forget what the name of the group was with Baron Zemo and stuff like that.
Oh, okay, yeah.
Masters of Evil, I think it was something Masters like of Evil, something like that.
But. Yeah, that was Red Skull in there too. So, yeah. So and then there's rumors, you know, the Red Skull will be back at some point. I mean,
maybe. Who knows what they're doing with that guy?
Yeah, I mean, I personally think he did not die at the end of Captain America.
Why would they kill off such a? They don't kill anybody off in these movies.
Yeah, they really don't. They really don't kill off. I mean, and that was always something that kind of bothered me with like some of the other superhero movies. They just kill off the bad guy at the end, and it's like, well, what happened?
Movie formula says there has to be a conclusion. Sure, there does, but the outcome doesn't have to be.
Oh, yeah, it doesn't always have to be that the bad guy dies.
Such a fan, like, I mean, and because the bad guys don't, I mean, generally, I mean, there are times in the comics where the bad guy does die.
Yeah.
And it's usually a big event, you know, so, but, all right, but, yeah.
Curses, you hero. I'm coming back to get you next time.
Exactly.
In episode 5. Exactly. You know, whatever. I don't know. But some other stuff. Lucy Lawless.
Yep.
Was in the premiere episode for season 2.
Do you think that she is dead, or do you think that they're going to be bringing her back as someone else? Because Izzy Hartley is not in the comic books.
Yeah.
So the only thing that I can think of is that that's a mask for something that she's going to be. Because she grabbed that thing at the end, the obelisk.
Yeah.
Is what they called it when they introduced... Reed Diamond as Dr. Whitehall, who was an old other character that could be the real big villain, at least to the first half of this season.
Yeah.
But when she grabbed the obelisk, it started to hurt her. It turned her grayish blue or something like that. It looked like it was all kinds of Kree symbols on that, ones that we've seen. I can't see Lucy Lawless being a one-off character.
Yeah, I can't see that either. So I was kind of stunned when they showed her dead at the end, you know, inside the car. So
See, I'm thinking that whatever she did when she touched that obelisk, I'm thinking that it gave her some sort of ability.
Yep.
I don't know what. I couldn't even guess as to what character they would want her to play at this point.
Yeah.
But it can't. I can't see it as a one-off. I think in a few episodes we might see her come back. Like maybe she's just in a coma now or something like that.
I don't know. I mean, we'll have to see. Maybe a whole new Lucy Lawless grows from that hand. Who knows?
Right. Yeah, so go from there. I can't see her being in just one episode though. Not when she's so recognizable.
Yeah. Well, but here's another thing. I mean, are they going to keep Fitz? That's the other question that kind of, because I mean, at the end, that little turnabout, I mean,
that was like, they like went all Sixth Sense on us.
There. Yeah. They threw that at you, you know, and you know, wait a minute. Simmons is not really there. What happened?
That was crazy. Also, I want to know why she left, because that's an interesting storyline to go about.
Yeah. Too. Well, they said that she thought he would do better without her there.
Clearly not. Unless how bad was he?
But also, maybe it's the whole thing with, you know, saying that he loves her and all that kind of stuff, and she just couldn't face it or something along those. I don't know.
See, two characters that I really liked coming out of season one were Fitz and Simmons. I liked them together. I liked them. I just liked the way that the actors portrayed them. I thought that they were great.
Yeah.
So it was really sad to see what had happened to him, because he was such a smart, bright guy.
Yeah.
And now he's like having trouble formulating words and everything, and I mean the team hasn't lost faith in him, but Coulson realizes that he's in trouble. He's just not right now. He needs to get himself better before he can help them.
And I'm wondering if this is like a setup for something with GH-235. I mean, because obviously,
like what if he shoots himself up to try and make himself better?
Yeah, maybe something like that happens.
What if he turns into a villain?
Ooh, but who would he be?
No idea.
Yeah, all right. So I mean, there's some speculation there that we can kind of keep an eye on,
right,
and go from there. Another thing that kind of got me was Patton Oswalt's character. I can't remember how it was pronounced. But I mean, he's saying he's got all these brothers, and he's got to be a clone.
Yeah,
he's a clone.
Some sort of Nick Fury side project.
He's got to be some kind of a clone, because he's everywhere, and
just like one guy he took. Made a whole bunch of copies of him and has him guard these secret bases all around the world. Speaking of secret bases, when they unlocked everything and saw that all those, because that wasn't just Hydra people, that was Hydra bases that were lighting up on that board.
Yeah.
That's a lot of Hydra
stuff. That's a lot of stuff. That's going to be, I mean, obviously they're not going to run out of material. They've obviously got a pretty, you know, extensive storyline to work with.
Yeah,
if they want to do something, and they can go any direction.
It's going to be a solid season, I'm hoping. It took them a little while to get going on season one, but the last half of season one was so good.
Yeah.
In pairing with the events that happened in The Winter Soldier, and now it's like 6 months later or something like that.
Yeah.
That this is happening. You know, Sky's a full-blown agent. She's got bangs now, so, I mean.
So she's badass.
You know what's going on.
Yeah, don't mess with her.
I thought the interaction between her and Ward, who is currently being locked up and just pumped for information at this point in time, he was creepy.
Yeah.
Super creepy.
Very. I mean, it's just a total 180 from what he played.
Like, you
know, how he played it in the first season.
Well, he was cool guy.
Yeah,
you know what I mean?
Cool. I'm kick-ass agent.
I'm calm. I'm tough, and I can kill people 7,000 different ways and everything. And now he can't even, you know, apparently kill himself, which is what he alluded to that he tried doing.
Yeah, trying to cut his wrists open and that kind of stuff. And he's just, I just want to be with you, Sky. I'll do anything for you. Tell me, and I'll do it. And
has he gone off the deep end? Maybe?
I think he has. I mean, obviously,
isolation does some screwy stuff.
I mean, he tried to slit open his wrist. He tried, you know, banging his head against the wall. I think he's going off the deep end, and he's just, I don't know. Maybe everything that Garrett did to him just kind of messed him up, and
I know that he was a bad guy. You know, obviously he was supposed to be a bad guy at the end of the season. You know, that came to be, but I don't think that he is. I don't think that he's fully bad. I think that he is. He's almost going to be like that anti-hero type person. You know,
I don't get that he's gone completely to the dark side, quote unquote. Mm-hmm. You know, he's gonna I think he'll end up coming back, and it'll just end up being, you know, everybody's going to say, all right, yeah, you're back, but I don't really trust you, so I'm going to keep my eye on you and a finger on my trigger, and,
right,
you know, you twitch the wrong way, and I'll blow you away.
They're going to need him for something coming up.
Yep.
They're going to need him for his abilities, which are, you know, he's probably one of, he's the at least the best fighter there besides May, and I think they're going to put some sort of restraint on him, but... He was super creepy, and that little Easter egg that he dropped for everybody except for Sky, that he knows something about her father.
Yeah.
Which, I don't know what he knows about her father. We know about as much about her father as she does at this point.
Yeah.
So, I don't know what it is, but Kyle MacLachlan's going to play him.
Well. Oh, yeah, I read that. Yeah. I read that. So that ought to bring in the former... Twin, what was the movie? What was the TV show? It was
Twin Peaks.
Yeah. Twin Peaks fans. So my friend Miker, I'm sure he'll be watching. If he's not already, you never know. But all right, so yeah, so we'll just have to wait and see what happens there. But I mean, not only a lot going on with TV, a lot of news coming out about movies.
That's true.
So we're gonna switch roles over into movies. First up, Deadpool.
Getting a movie finally.
Yes. After how long?
Oh, my God. This has been in the works for a long time. This has been in the works since before X-Men Origins Wolverine.
Yeah. Because
Ryan Reynolds and Dominic Monaghan were working together on that project because they both wanted something to do with it. Now, I know that Dominic Monaghan, he is no longer involved with it as far as I know.
Right.
But Ryan Reynolds is still tied to the project, doesn't have any... contracts or anything yet,
right.
But he is still tied to the project. Don't know if he'll be it or if he'll just be a writer or a consultant or something like that, but February 2016 is when that film is coming out, and I think that it has to be different than any of these other superhero movies that have been out. I think it has to be rated R.
Yeah.
I think it does.
Well, I saw an article that they were saying they figured out how they can make it PG-13.
How?
But I'm like, yeah, there's no way you can do that keep the integrity of the character.
He's got a foul mouth.
Yep.
Obviously.
Right.
Goes with the nickname. And he's just, everything in the comic books is so violent.
Yeah.
It's so bloody. Like, I mean, just that test footage.
Yeah.
It has to be exactly like that if they're going to do it. It is not going to be a million-dollar blockbuster the way that any of these other
This is more going to be a movie for the fans.
Mm-hmm.
And if it makes, you know, bank, then that's the gravy, you know, that everybody's going to love.
Now, it is being put up by Fox.
Okay.
So, and then they've redeemed themselves in my eyes as far as X-Men go. So there's that. But I don't know. It's not going to fit in with anything else that they're doing. Will they make it fit in with their X-Men storyline? Probably not. Why would they? They might though.
Yeah.
You know, if they're trying to do their own thing. But you know, it's going to have an R rating, and I don't know. That's all I know. It's got to have an R rating. I just think that it has to.
It's in order for it to be successful for the character, it's gotta.
I mean, I've loved Deadpool forever, so they can't screw this up. Like, they already screwed it up, so we're all giving you a second chance.
Yeah. So don't F it up.
Not this time.
Yeah. We're practically handing you the blueprint of what we want on a silver platter.
Yeah.
Freaking just follow the blueprint, give us a great story. And go with it.
I mean, before he was all deformed in X-Men Origins Wolverine, I didn't have a huge problem with the way Ryan Reynolds portrayed him. I thought that he was the way that I would have envisioned him in a PG-13 movie. You know, he's just, you know, a sarcastic jerk, which I thought was fine. You know, I didn't have a problem with that at all. I just think that it has to go beyond that now, especially since it's no longer tied to that universe.
Yeah.
So.
All right. So we'll have to wait and see.
How long has it been? Like, X-Men Origins came out in what, 2009?
Something like that.
2009. So it's been quite some time.
Yeah, coming up on 5-6 years.
Yeah.
So it's definitely got to be. All right. So we'll cross our fingers and we'll hope that Fox knows what they're doing. I mean, obviously, like you said, they kind of they redeemed themselves with you. I mean, with me,
I mean, I really liked Days of Future Past, and I liked First Class a lot. I thought that they...
First Class was great.
First Class was really great. And I really thought Days of Future Past was really good. So, and that'll be, I believe that'll be out on Blu-ray and DVD soon, so...
Yeah, I gotta rewatch that.
I would like to rewatch that, too.
Yeah, so... and speaking of X-Men, Bryan Singer set to direct X-Men Apocalypse.
I don't know how this is news, because I just assumed that he was going to be directing X-Men Apocalypse,
because the movies he didn't really do all that great, so just keep him there and, you know, let him have his say with X-Men and everybody will be happy.
This is going to be the fourth film in the X-Men series directed by him, because he did the original one in X2. Days of Future Past and then X-Men Apocalypse will be his fourth film. So, we'll see how it goes. That's coming out May of 2016. So it's already in 2016. We've got quite a bit of movies on the way, which is going to be... So we're going to have Batman versus Superman. That's going to be in the summer. We're going to have X-Men Apocalypse.
Right.
We're going to have Deadpool in February. What else is coming out 2016? The third Captain America movie is supposed to come out in 2016 as well.
Okay, so, I mean, lots of Marvel stuff happening.
2 years from now.
2 years from now. So
20 years from now, the way that they're going.
I mean, know, they got everything banked out to like 2028.
They just need to, you know, discover some, you know, aging formula so that Robert Downey Jr. can keep up with it. But I heard that with the new Iron Man and everything, they've given Robert Downey Jr. control over Iron Man 4, whether or not he wants to do it.
Yeah.
Or if he wants to help them cast someone else to play Tony Stark. And I don't know who else I could see in that role at this point.
Yeah, I can't see anybody else doing Tony.
But Robert Downey Jr. cannot play Iron Man forever, unfortunately. Yeah, that's what Hugh Jackman is learning now. Yeah. He's not going to play. He can't play Wolverine forever.
Yeah, I mean, and it's kind of hard to tell who would really take over, you know, the role. But I think Robert Downey Jr. will stick in there at least till Iron Man 4.
Right.
I mean, I can't, yeah. I mean,
maybe he passes the torch to somebody else. Somebody else within the Marvel Cinematic Universe takes over. The way that it's going right now, Chris Evans is going to be out as Captain America. I think they're either going to go the route of Bucky, the Winter Soldier, taking over the mantle like he did in the comic books after Civil War. And I think that, or they could do what they're doing now, current Marvel Universe, where Falcon takes over as Captain America. Either way, they've got both characters established at this point.
I think it's more likely that Bucky will end up taking over, and then, you know, give him his shot for maybe a few movies, and then something happens, and then, you know, Falcon.
I rewatched Winter Soldier this past weekend, by the way, because it just came out. And, oh, my God.
It's good.
It is just so good. It is good.
And Robert Redford, I mean, that's right there. I mean, if you've ever watched any of the 70s political dramas that he was in, and, you know, like 3 Days of the Condor, All the President's Men, I mean, all those kinds of movies.
What was the one with him and Dustin Hoffman?
That was All the President's Men. That was All the President's Men? Yeah, that was the one for the Watergate scandal.
Yes, okay.
Yeah. I mean, obviously he wasn't a superhero, but I mean, 3 Days of the Condor, he was basically a CIA analyst who ended up having to, you know, get away from an assassin who was killing his group, you know, his analyst group and all that kind of stuff. It was just, you know, he's just a fantastic actor. And, you know, pulling him in for Captain America, because it was a Marvel movie, but it was also a political thriller, and he played it, he did it. I mean, he pulled it off, and it was awesome. And I bet he had a ton of fun on the set as well.
Right.
You know, especially for, you know, Captain America. I mean, come on.
Set everything up. It basically said, here's everything about the Marvel Cinematic Universe that you've learned so far. Clear off the board, because we're teaching you another lesson right now, all the way. So, I mean, it's totally revamped everything. It's pretty cool that the way that they're going with it. And I was just reading the other day that the Avengers 2, with everything happening, is... They released a synopsis on it.
Yep. And you can read up on it over at xjockalbanyny.com.
Right. But just, you know, briefly, part of it, Tony Stark finds a old way of keeping the peace, which is Ultron. Mm-hmm. Not the Ultron that is going to be the villain, but a earlier version of Ultron. I think it's because of what was revealed in the first episode of S.H.I.E.L.D., which is the fact that there is Hydra bases everywhere, and there is no longer S.H.I.E.L.D. around to police at all. So, you know, he comes up with this way, which is his way, which is technology.
Yeah.
And it backfires on him ultimately, which is Age of Ultron, and we'll see how that plot plays out and everything.
Mm-hmm.
But I thought that that was a pretty cool thing that, you know, that's how Ultron comes to be. And I think that that is, they're setting things up one of two ways in these movies. They're going to go the route of Captain America versus Iron Man, and it's going to go Civil War.
It's going to be, I think it's going to be Civil War.
But they're also setting up Infinity Gauntlet as well within that universe, which I think reunites those characters that are divided.
Yeah, so you're thinking Civil War comes in, busts them up, Infinity Gauntlet brings them back in.
Right.
I think that sounds about right.
It's the two that I think that are going on there. I think the way that DC is going, I think, and I could be wrong, but the way that they're introducing all of these characters, I think that they could be dealing with and going with Crisis on Infinite Earths. I mean,
you're thinking that's how it goes?
I mean, we're obviously in the infancy stages of
of
the DC cinematic universe, but I would say that would be a good way for them to kind of get back on track, because that's what it did for the comics for DC, because it was such a convoluted 50-year history or whatever of DC with characters introduced and then reintroduced and everything like that. Right. So we'll see what happens.
We'll see, because I mean, I don't have a lot of faith in DC.
Speaking of not having a lot of faith, Sony announced that there will be a Venom movie, and it will now be called Venom Carnage. It will feature Carnage. So I don't know. I have no idea how this movie is going to be. Will it have Spider-Man in it? Who knows? But
I mean, they did make a Venom comic where he was kind of like an anti-hero, kind of like the Punisher.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, that was his whole thing. He wanted to be like Spider-Man, but he hated what Spider-Man was. So, because it was more along the lines of the symbiote hated Peter Parker, a.k.a. Spider-Man, because it refused to join with him. And I guess it had an ego, whatever. I don't know. But that's the thinking. But, yeah, I mean, so they could definitely play Venom as its own, as his own anti-hero kind of character. You know, he's a bad guy, but really he does good things, but he's still, you know, he's still not above.
How do they do
he's chaotic neutral.
Right. How do they do a Venom movie without the black suit Spider-Man, though?
That's the trick. They gotta have something.
So, I mean, they've said that Spider-Man 3 is not going to be out until 2017, I believe.
Right.
Venom Carnage will be out in 2016, I think, so there's another one to add to the list. But how do you do it without Black Suit Spider-Man? You have to go through and rewrite the history of the symbiote.
Yeah.
And I just don't feel comfortable with Sony doing that.
It's partially Marvel's fault that, you know, but I mean, nobody was thinking that far ahead. Well, actually, I guess people were thinking that far ahead, because Avi obviously didn't really like the idea of having all of these characters intermingling. I don't know why, because that's how it works in the comics. And why not watch that? Awesome. But if they redo Venom's history, you know, they redo his origin, then it's just wrong. I mean, I don't see any reason to go see the movie. If it's not the character that I know, why go see it?
Well, I mean, easily one of the biggest letdowns was The Amazing Spider-Man 2. So, I mean,
it had to have been better to be letdown.
I mean, if they go down from there, that's really sad. So yeah. Any improvement will be good for this.
Wah, wah.
Ugh.
Pretty much.
Just awful.
It's just terrible. I mean, I don't know. I mean, just, I don't understand. I mean, the thing that I don't get is why, I mean, they're seeing the success that Marvel is having. Why not just say, okay, look, let's do that. Let's partner up. Let's share. We'll hold on to the rights, but we want to work with you on making this movie, you know, that kind of deal.
Everybody's greedy.
Everybody's greedy. Screw you.
They all want to come up with their own people. With their own ways to do to do things. So Sony's just unfortunately not doing it very well.
Yeah, not right now. No, I mean, I never got why they wanted to do the reboot anyway. Well, I can kind of see. I mean, Spider-Man 3 sucked.
Yeah.
You know, the one with
Well, the only thing you can do when something is terrible and people are no longer going to see it is reboot.
Reboot. So. Have you tried turning it off and turning it back on again?
I know, right?
Yeah, yeah. That kind of thing.
So. Sometimes it works, sometimes it doesn't. It worked for the Hulk. It does not working so far for Spider-Man. Yeah. It worked for X-Men because of the horribleness that has been going on. I don't know if you heard this rumor, but I heard a rumor that they are possibly working on an old man Wolverine storyline.
Really?
So,
well, they're Wolverine is supposed to be killed in the comics.
Yeah, they just did the death of Wolverine, didn't they?
Yeah.
And I think now Marvel is actually going to be doing the death of Deadpool. So apparently they're just trying to kill off anybody with healing factor.
Maybe. I mean, in the comics, yeah. I mean, that's something, because you can always say, well, we'll bring him back. We'll figure it out.
I mean, how do you kill Wolverine? You got to cut his head off, right? But what? Does it grow back?
I don't know.
He's got healing
factor. Really don't know how they... I mean, that's the only thing I could think of.
Right.
Would be the only way to do it. But then again, you never know. Who knows? I have to wait and see.
Yeah.
So we'll go from there. I mean, anything else you can think of? I think we pretty much covered all of the stuff that...
No, we'll have to catch up again. And once I've seen... Flash, which I think I will watch. I don't know if I'll watch it on time like I watch all these other shows, but right. Heck, if I'm watching Gotham on time, I guess I can watch Flash on time. The only thing that I'm not going to understand is I don't watch Arrow, so if there's any sort of tie-ins with Arrow, I think there's
just supposed to be a tie-in to introduce Flash to kind of kickstart the show with the pilot, so... You know, how that's going to end up, I don't know. And I just may have to give... I'll probably watch that episode to see how they do it and then go from there. But, yeah, I just can't... I've tried watching Arrow a couple times, and I just cannot get into it.
Yeah, I don't know. I've never even attempted it. I just... that's my disdain for DC is that I'm not willing to give it a chance unless it's Batman.
Yeah.
Batman, I'm willing to give it a shot, but when it comes to everything else, unless it's part of their animated universe, I just don't care.
Yeah, the animated when it comes to animation, that's where they kind of blow away Marvel, because they just have so much stuff. And Marvel just, you know, they're animated. I mean, the last time they did anything really good that was animated was the Spider-Man cartoon back in like the 90s.
Yeah, that was really good for its time. The X-Men cartoon I thought was really good for its time.
X-Men lasted a long time.
It did last a long time.
You know, they had those two shows had really good.
Well, they were really true to the comics, which was nice, except for Peter Parker was in college, not high school. But.
Yeah. You know, but well, yeah, whatever. I mean, they just started a little bit later.
Right.
Yeah, no Gwen Stacy, no, just Mary Jane and
yep, that's it.
Gone from there. So, all right. Well, so, yeah, I think that just about wraps it up for this episode, don't you think?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay, so...
When did we talk about these Star Trek coasters?
Those aren't coasters. Those are collectible plates.
These are collectible plates?
Those are collectible plates. My sister Kathy got them for me.
What?
When I was a kid, yeah.
They're like the smallest plates I've ever seen.
I know. Because they're like... Yeah, because that was mine and my sister Kathy's thing, you know? It was when I was a kid. Because when I was like 4 years old, she was teaching me how to read Dr. Seuss.
Okay.
And then after watching, you know, reading, Star Trek would come on.
Huh.
And that's what we would do. We'd sit and we'd watch Star Trek. And even after my sister got married and left, you know, I always had to watch Star Trek.
That's funny.
You know, and then I can't remember if it was a birthday or Christmas, she got me those little collectible plates.
We should compare, odd collectibles that we have. I've got a whole like blueprint booklet of all the ships from Star Trek.
I used to have the maintenance guide for the 1701.
Why do we need that?
I know.
Like, what are we gonna
do? Why do we need to see where the hell the bathroom is on the bridge?
Why do I need that?
You know,
I'm not throwing it away though.
I don't blame you. I wish I still had my technical guide for that stuff, because I want to find out. Because there's actually a thing online called Pixel Trek.
Mm.
Some guy took the Enterprise, and you know pixel art.
Yeah.
Looks like the 16-grade, you know, three-quarter down view. Some guy is basically designing the Enterprise that way, and you can walk around the Enterprise with this little pixel character, mm-hmm. and you can either be Worf or Riker or Picard or Data or some other dude, you know, and just walk around, take the turbo lifts and everything. And he's got like decks 1 through 4 and deck 8 and the battle bridge done.
Jeez.
And you can just walk around. There's no sound, but he says, if you click on this link, you get the, you know, the 10-hour loop of the Star Trek engine sound. So you listen to that while you're walking around the Pixel Trek Enterprise.
That's awesome.
And you feel like, and yeah, it works. It's cool. So I'll have to put the link in the show notes for this episode. So
and a picture of the collectible plates.
And a picture of the collectible plates. We'll throw that in there as well. And then maybe that should be an X-Cast show, you know, collecting.
The weird things that you have that you won't throw away.
Yeah, that you won't throw away. I think that's what we got. So when Monty fully heals from his burns.
We're thinking of you, Monty.
We're thinking of you,
Monty. We're thinking we never want you to cook for us.
Yeah, that's for sure.
No way. I'm going to have to like take out an insurance policy if I ever have to go to his house.
Yeah, so.
We'll let him explain what happened
the
next time that we catch up with an X-Cast. But let's just say Monty's not allowed in the kitchen.
Yeah, he's not allowed in my kitchen. That's for damn sure.
He's not allowed in my house. I don't want him to burn it down.
Definitely. Definitely there.
We both have brand new houses.
Yeah, so yeah.
Get out of here, Monty.
We want to keep them. So obviously, if you're listening to the show, you found us somewhere like iTunes, Stitcher Radio, the Blueberry Podcast Directory, or Podcastpedia. Thanks for listening. Please rate the show. Let us know what you think. Helps us build up, you know, our standing on those sites and gets more people to listen. And you can also email us. BJ is at bj@xjockalbanyny.com. Mine is bigrich@xjockalbanyny.com. And our website, of course, xjockalbanyny.com. How many more times can I say xjockalbanyny.com?
Let's find out.
xjockalbanyny.com. Go to the website. Read our stories, all that good stuff. So till next time, I am Big Rich.
BJ's out.
All right. Peace. Yo, later.
Me llamo Piscina de la Muerta.